Deuteronomy chapter 4. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near? That's where I'm going, and that's where I've been going into for the last few weeks, emphasizing the fact that we have a God who is so near, all right, to us. He said, as the Lord, as is the Lord our God, whenever we call on him. All right, that's where I just want to read. The fact that our God is very near, he's not abstract, okay? He's not somebody that we need an intermediary to get to. Jesus is not even just our intermediary. Let me explain that. Jesus doesn't stand between us and God. You know what he does? He introduces us to the Father. In fact, he told the disciples at the point in time, ask directly. I'm not even telling you I will ask the Father for you. He said, I'm convinced that the Father himself loves you. Do you follow the point? So you can go straight, and the Bible says that we can approach to the throne of grace directly anytime we need help, and we'll find mercy and grace for that help, the Bible says, in the time of need. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Now, so that's what I wanted us to understand, that our God is near. Christianity is a tangible thing, you know. Please, you know, you can't say this thing enough. You want to say it until people have it very solidly in their hearts. The way it is that Christianity is not within a church. It is where? Outside. You only go to church to learn the ways of God, to be tutored in the way God wants you to walk. When you are walking, the life that is in you, that has been imparted into you by the Lord Jesus Christ, will produce things outwardly. Jesus indeed is the light of the world, and we are the light bearers. Do you follow what I mean? We carry the light that Jesus is to the world, and we take him into church. Is that so? No, we take him into the world. Do you follow my point? You get rekindled, refired, all right, in church. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said that stir up the gift, all right, of God that is in thee by the laying on of hands. That word, stir up, what it means, the literal, in fact, if you read some scriptures, that's the way it says in the Greek. He says, rekindle. Do you understand my point? Sometimes it's as if the light is dying out. Why you go into church is that you get refired. Do you follow my point? The breeze of the Holy Spirit is blown upon the gift of God that is in you. And if, you know, the fire flares up again, and then you can go out and shine brighter, all right, to affect your generation. Now, that's the point we are trying to make, that Christianity is not just about which church do you go to? You talk to people, they like to brag on their religion. This is the church I attend. Listen, that is arrant nonsense. The church you attend is not important at all. As much as the life that you have contacted and you emit everywhere you go. You follow what I'm trying to say? All right. You know, believe me, when you get to heaven, there's no attendant register. How many times did you go to church? Here you come. How many times did you go to church? Not even how many times you go for Bible study, how many times you go for teachings, how many times you listen to a tape. Nobody asks. Those things are given to us, all right, so that we will be able to develop the life that is in us. You're getting the point? And then we can affect our generations for Christ Jesus. You must understand that point. That's what it's about. So what we are saying here, he said our God is close. He's so near to us, and there is no other God that is like him. Now, that's just to remind us of what we have been saying. Again, quickly, let's go back to that Ezekiel chapter 14. All right, from verse 7, it says, for anyone of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me, that is the Lord, for himself. He said, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person, and I shall set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I shall cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. Why did I read this? We've read it several times before. I want to just remind us of the fact that what God was saying is that people can come here and inquire, all right? He said, if any man separates himself and then comes to inquire of me for himself, what God was saying is that before a man can come to inquire, that is, the people are allowed to come and inquire. Are you getting the logic there? That you can inquire. It's allowed. It's just that before you come, certain things must be properly set in arrangement. You must have removed the idols, he said, from your heart. And you must have, first of all, rejoined yourself to the Lord. And you remove your idols from your heart and remove from you before your face the stumbling block of your iniquity. And then you can have the confidence to come to the prophet to inquire of the Lord. Do you understand my point? And you see, without belaboring the point. I'm sure we all know about it. How did Saul first encounter Samuel? After his father's animals got missing, he said, "Is there no seer?" All right. "Is there no prophet around here? Is there no seer that we can inquire of?" And then they went, and Samuel already had a message from God waiting for him. If you go and read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, don't bother opening to it, but you can find the story there. It's a story that happened at, I think it was Ziklag, all right? Now, you see that David inquired of the Lord here. By the time they came back to Ziklag, after they had gone for battle, by the time he came back, some people had raided their settlement. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them?" And then he said to him, that is, the Lord said to him, "Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall rescue all." That's just what I want to bring out there. The man went to God to inquire. There is something that we have studied before when we're talking about this issue of inquiring of the Lord. And what I just want to emphasize for us is the fact that we can inquire of God. We have been establishing something along the line. You know, it appears as if you are saying that God doesn't talk to people. You know, I have never said that. You know that the point. I mean, I have never said that. What I have always said is that people claim God spoke to them on things that we know God didn't speak to them about. And that most of the day, let me just tell you as a matter of fact, an average day, God does not expect to come inquiring of the Lord. An average week, you probably will not have to do that. But most people, in a whole month, you may not have to recourse to that action. No, that is, you just find out that most of the things that come across your way, you have been developed enough spiritually to handle them. And one of the things I have found out, I'm sorry to say this, but let me say it again. Was it I said last time that I'm always very, very suspicious of women who pray too much and they see visions? I'm always very suspicious. No, really. Now, it's not women, everybody. Just like it's commoner amongst women. It's commoner. It's commoner. If I'm discussing with somebody and he can't talk straight to me, somebody's telling me what God told him to do, I easily lose interest. And it's not because I don't like to hear God. It's because, you know, you don't want us to talk intelligently. Do you know what I'm going to say? Yes, you are boxing me into a corner. You don't want me to reason. And most of the, look, this is, I have enough experience. In, like, listen, as I study the word of God, like life depends on it since 1987. It's not today. So for 21 years, all right, I've been doing this thing. And I've seen all kinds of people. You can't talk intelligent to people. They say, "This is what God and my spirit has been telling me. God has been telling me, oh God, oh please, do you mind dropping this thing? Let us talk like children of God, you know. We use our spiritual reasoning. We can come to agreement on how to, and that's how we actually discover the will of God." A lot of time I interact with people, and they tell me that what God has been teaching them recently. I said, "The reason why God is teaching you that recently by prayer and meditation is because you refuse to read a simple Bible or a simple book. I could have taught you that 6 years ago." Now, what's the point I'm going to make? I'm going to say that a lot of people who depend on shma, kushu, kudu, ba, mush, let me check my spirit, is laziness. They think it is spirituality. It's actually laziness and impatience. You're not ready to settle down and learn. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon thee." How? By learning of me. You have to learn. Not this crisis here, God, every time. I'm tired. You must understand the way God works. You must understand the principles of the kingdom. Are you getting my point? You must understand how things work with God. It's not every time before you make... Look, listen, you leave those hearing God things, you know what I'm going to say, to crucial decisions in which there is no other way to arrive at them but by supernatural manifestation. Let me not go over that again. We've said that, you know, a lot. Let me just summarize it. As a child of God, continual spiritual development by the entrance of the word of God is your responsibility. Do you follow my point? You are not supposed to pick up your Bible when you want to make decisions. No. You are supposed to read it all the time, even whether you have to make decisions or not. Do you follow my point? It's not a Bible is not a crisis moment instrument. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's like food. Do I eat because I want to run? There's a race coming. Click, please, get me bread. Put egg inside. A big cup of Milo. There's a race coming. No. You wake up in the morning. The usual thing is what? A breakfast. You can eat your bread that time. You come back late in the evening. You eat one whole mound of rice and, you know, and your soul rejoices in the Lord. And then you cross your leg. Nothing. In fact, the only plan you have for that evening is to watch TV. Yet you eat. Are you getting my point? Why? It's part of life. That's how you continually remain healthy. That's how you continually develop. That's how the word of God is. People sometimes say that, look, what you are preaching right now, I don't need it now. Your head needs to be checked by an angel of God. How can you say that kind of thing? What you are preaching now, I don't need it now. The day you need it, it's already too late to start trying to learn it. I don't know, you get my point. The day you need it is the wrong time to start trying to learn it. You know, look, in fact, Smith Wigglesworth, either Smith Wigglesworth or E.W. Kenyon said like this. He said, if you wait till you need faith, before you start trying to get it, you waited too late. You follow the point? No, it's not the day you need something. That's why, like my pastor will say, as Pastor Ed will say in church all the time, this thing we are discussing, you may say, I don't have children yet. So you should learn it before you have children. Let me tell you, there is how to choose a life partner. If it's when brothers are already queuing at your doorsteps to say, please now. That's when you start saying, okay, Pastor Banky preached on marriage. Please, where's the CD? You're making life difficult. No, that's not what Christianity is about. You're supposed to constantly, do you follow the point? Constantly, constantly feed upon God's word. And then when you have to make decisions, let me tell you something. There is a problem you have a lot of times when you start relying. Please, I'm going to get into my message for today, all right? When you start relying on God told me, all right? When you have to make intelligent decisions, you are suddenly in a crossroad. You understand? You have opened your mouth, all right? You are suddenly in a fix. You've said it several times. This is what God said I should do. God said, God told me, God said. By the time you say it a number of times, when you now want to do the opposite, you say, who told me that time? Do you follow the point? I've had many people tell me, God said I should marry this person. Then one day they came and said, no, God, I've changed my mind. I won't remind her that they told me it was God before. I won't just remind her. Why embarrass the man? It's bad enough as things are. Now, having said all of this, it's just to bring a balance to our hearts. We are not saying God doesn't speak to people. Do you understand that? We are not saying that. We are saying that that's well not what he's trying to get us to, you know, walk by. He wants us to learn of him, know the ways of God. And then, like James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. That's when the man now really needs all those special manifestations. I know we've discussed this one before. I just want us to recollect these things to mind. James now said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, I said wisdom, all right, is the ability to use information, all right, or knowledge to make effective, let me use new words now, decisions. Do you understand my point? All right, it's like they tell you that technology is the ability to use scientific knowledge to improve life for people. You may discover that if electricity passes through a coil and there's a magnet around, there's movement. Fleming's right-hand rule or left-hand rule or head rule, whichever rule of Fleming you apply. So, that is science. But what is technology? You use Fleming's left-hand rule and you make a ceiling fan, a standing fan. Therefore, because of your knowledge of Fleming's left-foot rule, I have a fan that keeps me cool in this kind of hot environment. Do you follow the point? Then you have used your science to affect our lives. So we call that what? Technology. That's the meaning of the word technology. Is that okay? Now, wisdom is technology. Knowledge is what? Science. You understand that? So if you know the ways of God, that is knowledge. But then when you are able to apply it to certain situations, when you have to make decisions, then that is what? Wisdom. Sometimes you lack that wisdom. Then you go and what? You pray. God expects that when you don't know what to do or you want to make crucial decisions, you follow? And you just want to be absolutely certain about them. Then you go and pray and you ask God for wisdom. It is okay at that time to ask God to speak. Now, don't forget that word speak. We need to explain it again. And that's what I said last time. How does God speak to people? There are different ways. I divided it into two types, right? The natural ways and the supernatural ways. When we say natural ways, a lot of crucial decisions I've made in life have been based upon counsel from friends. Listen, I told you before, advice is not an instruction. I have the right to refuse your advice. And it doesn't make me a bad person. Stop saying that this guy doesn't listen to advice. Not listening is what the problem is. All right? Heed instruction. You don't heed advice. What's your problem? The Bible said heed instruction. What you're supposed to heed is what? instruction. Instruction is not something that is left to you to decide upon. It's given to you to obey. Advice is different. All right? That's why the Bible talks about multitude of counselors. I'm bringing out something. The advice doesn't make any meaning except the heart is in the correct place. That's what I want to explain. Advice is different from instruction. If I give you counsel, you can drop it. Your ability to receive my counsel depends on where your heart was before then. People talk about mentors and mentors in life. One of the things about mentors is that they give you advice which almost doubles like as instructions. The man is not running your life. But the advice is so strong, it's almost like an instruction. But generally, when people advise you, you can't drop the advice. You can pick it up. That's why the training of your own heart before that time is important. Most people that advise you, they bring to your mind something you knew before that you've already forgotten. That's what the Bible means when you use the word admonishing. If you admonish somebody, you are not teaching him anything new. It's something that he knew, all right, that you are reminding him to use. At that particular point in time, then you say you are admonishing the person. I hope you are getting the point. All right, that's what advice is, okay? Now, so I said that's one way. So when you have a good heart and you relate with the right people, the good man, the light in the law of the Lord, he doesn't walk in certain places, sit in certain places, or move with certain crowds. If all your friends are wife beaters and wife divorcers, before you marry, shelve them. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, don't keep company with people you don't want to be like. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Englishman said it. Show me your friend. I will tell you the kind of person that you are. Let me add Pastor Banky's wisdom to it, or the kind of person you're about to become. You may not be like that right now. You just keep moving. After a while, listen, evil communication corrupts good manners. The modern expression is bad company. Do you follow me? So you want good advice? You know the people ahead of time. You know, there are people you know. I said, don't let me go over that message again. If you're not here, go and listen to it. Don't let me go. But the point I want to say is that you know where to get good advice. You know it. You know, you don't. When you go and listen to bad advice, you wanted it. Don't blame anybody. You and your wife get quarrel. You have a friend. In fact, to see him, you have to meet him somewhere, one beer parlor at 10 p.m. His wife and children at home. You should know that you are begging for bad advice. If he had good advice for you, you will have gone to his house. He will have told his wife, excuse me, please, let me talk with my friend. They will give you good advice. But the guy that's outside, smoking, they say, oh, what? What did she do? Tell me now. They look time. It's 10:30 p.m. He never go house. No take that kind, you know. If not, maybe. Now you beg for bad advice. Now, we preached that one last week. I said, beyond that, okay, another way we said is what? Instructions from people in authority. Okay, that one is not advice. Even if the man in authority gives you advice, accept it as instruction until proved otherwise. Is that okay? We explained that one. Now, these are all some of the natural. Don't forget the first one we mentioned is new information and new understanding. When God supplies new information, he knows you have enough wisdom to handle it. Just like you didn't have enough information to make that decision. So just gives you new information. You follow what I'm saying? Let me give a very good example to interest you. In fact, maybe I'll come back to that about Kenneth Hagin and marrying wife. God gave him new information, but the information came by supernatural means. You follow my point? Now, he needed to make a decision concerning who to marry. Now, nice girl. God just said, wait, let me show you something. Then he had a vision, and he saw another side of the girl. God didn't say, don't marry. He just saw the other side of the girl, and he knew that this wouldn't work. But that knowledge came by what? A vision, by a supernatural means, all right? So that's where we ended talking about the natural ways by which God speaks to people. And I want to continue that one today, that is the issue of God speaking to people. Here we have established the fact that most importantly is what? Understanding of God, the ways of God. Listen, God, you know what they call deputy? Not a deputy. You know what's an assistant? An assistant assists you. A deputy takes your place when you're not around. An assistant, you issue him instructions. You tell him what to do. A deputy is not like that. A deputy is, when you are not on seat, he's in charge. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what God wants is that we become what? His deputies. able to handle. That's why Paul will tell you that I don't have a direct commandment, but I have the Spirit of God. Let me tell you my opinion and take it for granted the guy is right. You follow what I'm saying? Let me tell you again. You know, I hope, I pray that we will understand the person of Christ Jesus properly and will relate with Christianity better. A lot of things he used to teach, they were not things that, oh, how do I say it? It wasn't like, oh, I pray and then God gives me instructions and then I go and repeat it in teachings. No. They will come to Jesus and say something. He will tell you, wait, relax. You have heard. All right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, that's how I used to say it. You have heard. That's quoting Moses. But I am telling you, I understand better than Moses. Moses copied instructions and gave them to you. I know the spirit behind the instructions. Therefore, if you tell me what Moses said, I will tell you why he said it. And I'll tell you why I can give you another instruction now. I never go below Moses' standards. I only go beyond and above them. Are you guys what I'm trying to say? So he will say that, Moses said we could divorce our wives. He said, let me tell you, it was not so at the beginning. This is how it was. The plan of God at the beginning is this. Male and female, he created them. Therefore, a man shall leave his wife, his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And whatever God joins together, no man, not even Moses, can effectively put asunder. I'm trying to explain something. He was what? God's deputy on the earth. If you remember, we taught this series then, School of Bible Exegesis, about 2 years ago, that's what we call equality with God. It doesn't mean that Jesus, while he was on earth, could create another Jupiter. It wasn't necessary. It was outside the scope of his existence at that particular point in time. But that you can tell him laws and he say, that's inferior to God's standard. Let me tell you God's opinion. And he's not praying about it at that particular point in time. He just had discovered the mind. Not the meaning of the word mind. The reasoning, the way God thinks, his perspective to things, the angle he comes from. Therefore, he will tell you, you have heard, but I tell you. They say, thou shalt not murder. I said, that is true. But let me tell you something. The thing behind that is that if a man hates his brother without cause in his heart, he's already a murderer. And that's where we are going as believers. That's why, oh God, I'll get back to my message. I just need to emphasize this. God said that I will write my laws upon their hearts. That's what he meant. That is, they will know me so well that when an issue comes up, most of the time people come asking you for counsel if you are developed spiritually. They even tell the story, just say, don't worry about this. This is what will happen here. This one. No, this is how, what God expects. There's no commandment. You have never encountered that situation before. But knowing the mind of God, and I want us to understand, that's where God wants us to grow to. The most spiritual man asks God fewer questions. You know, the impression we have is that if somebody says, oh, have you come? Wait, let me go and pray. And then as I was praying, there's usually, you think he's the most spiritual person. The most spiritual person, that's not the finish, is that it? Ah, that one is a small thing now. Having understood the mind of God before then, I just want to emphasize that again. Now, of course, we are human beings. A time will come in which the mind of God, or let me say, yes, the wisdom of God for that moment is beyond your current capabilities. So you go and pray. And we're discussing how God now answers. You remember that, all right? So we settled the issue of the natural ways. And I said, when we go beyond the natural ways, then God uses supernatural methods. What did I say? Supernatural methods. First, let me give you something about why God does things that are supernatural. Now, God is not a human being. For information, he doesn't like to show off. That's what I'm trying to explain. Show off is not his character. You know, by show off, what God could do simply, he will do it in the big way. Are you getting what I'm saying? God doesn't give visions except visions are necessary. Let me ask you a simple question. No matter how spiritual you are, how many times have you had a dream concerning what you should eat for breakfast? Think about it. You know why? God understands that most people know what to eat for breakfast. It's not, so it doesn't bother. Are you getting my point? But peradventure, you haven't eaten for 2 days and you don't know where food will come from next morning. You might dream and an angel will come and say, my son, the Lord said, I should tell you, do not worry. Tomorrow morning there shall be bread. Why? Because you are losing hope. So he came to give your heart encouragement. I'm bringing out something. God doesn't use supernatural means of communicating except there's a reason. And I'll give you a number of reasons. Now, spiritual hearing, I've said before, is not just about the ability to communicate spiritually. What I'm trying to say is that I have ears. You speak, I can hear you. All right? And I will know you spoke. I may not know what you said, all right? But I will be able to say, he said this and said this and said that. But spiritually, if I am not able to perceive what you are saying, I don't even hear you at all. I don't know whether you get my point. If your utterance won't make meaning to me, I won't hear it. That's why the Bible uses the word hear in an interesting fashion. It says, if we pray according to his will, he hears. Now, if we pray outside his will, does it become deaf? Because but God knows I was praying. It's outside his will, so it's not even registering. So the Bible doesn't say he hears, all right? And I told you that in the Hebrew, all right, you've heard the word, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The word hearken diligently, literally in Hebrew, is thou shalt hear hearing. Thou shalt listen listening. That's the literal meaning. They didn't say thou shalt obey. The Hebrew expression is that thou shalt listen listening, or thou shalt hear hearing. That is, the ability to perceive is what he emphasizes. And he equates that with action. Do you understand my point? That is, that which you don't act upon is because it has not yet registered inside the heart. What am I trying to explain? Sometimes God wants to communicate his will. And all these natural methods, none of them is going to work. Because sometimes his will is so outrageous. What did I say? Outrageous. For example, you engage to get married. Very nice girl. Then one day she appears. He said, waiting day your stomach, so you chop. He said, oh, I forgot to tell you, he's an angel. One angel, Gabriel, came and said, I shall conceive. So you are pregnant? Yes. He's an angel. Now listen to me. Even now that you have read Bible story, you still won't agree. Even now that you read Bible story, you won't agree. What kind of joke is that? Does she think I'm a fool? Yes, does she think I'm a fool? All that nonsense. The girls of these days, because you don't know anymore. There's no teaching you want to give Joseph. In fact, it's good enough that Joseph was a quiet guy. That was the best Joseph could offer God. I won't disgrace her, believe me. I won't let them stone her to death. But me, Mary, do I look like a fool? You must think I'm an idiot. I mean, if I... Number one, you've gone somewhere to go and borrow pregnancy. That's bad enough. You now want to explain to me that it's the Holy Spirit. You know, that one is a worse insult. Therefore, you can't settle that one except that angel appears in a dream. You can't. There's no other way. There's no other way. I mean, I like one. There was a play when I was in secondary school. The Joseph in the play woke up and said, Holy Spirit, please wait. We have to finish this discussion. This one that you're appearing to me in a dream is not good enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when God begins to use supernatural methods. When the natural methods wouldn't work. Now that I've already mentioned that. So one of the supernatural methods is what? Dreams. Under supernatural methods, and another example, just to use that one to explain why God uses supernatural methods. If you know what you talk about racism and discrimination. The Jew was commanded by God to be racist. See, other people they just have some funny reason for being racist. The Jew, the Israelite, was commanded by God to be racist. Marriage, if it's not from your place. No, don't agree. It was a commandment. There's a way you treat people who are from your nation, those who are not. It's inside their blood. Now, forget the human, forget the human tendency to be proud. God gave the Jew the reason to be proud. We read the scripture here. He said, which nation around you has a God that's so close? So if a non-Israelite comes, say, you, come here. Stand there. Is your God close? What's the name of your... When last did they answer you? They have eyes. They can't sing now, you know. They have eyes. They can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. They have mouth, they can't talk. Gentile. When David saw Goliath, he was angry. He wasn't just like him. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? No, it was like, human being, they talk. This one, Philistine. You know, he was disdained the guy. Look at he was so full of the difference between the Israelite and the Philistine that he forgot to notice the height. He said, who's that one talking? Uncircumcised Philistine. His God is not close. When he calls, the God doesn't answer. Ha! Now, that's that kind of attitude. So, go to a Gentile house, they won't go. Chop food that Gentile prepared, the guy is good, they look at him with suspicion. Then one day, he now told Peter, go and preach to the house of Cornelius. You're joking. You hear what I said? You are joking. Even when Jesus was around, when they said go and preach, Jesus used to tell them, don't go near. Even though Jesus commanded them, you shall preach to the ends of the world. It wasn't real yet. Peter just sat squarely in Jerusalem. Go and preach to Cornelius. Youth, listen. There's no scripture you wanted to explain to Peter to get up and across to him. God had to appear. In fact, believe me, God made sure he was really hungry. It wasn't even preparing food. That God now showed him food. The vision was carefully designed to get his attention. I told that story to let you understand his mindset. Do you follow my point? That's his mindset. It was hard. The only way Peter could do it was when God appeared by a supernatural means of communication. The man suddenly fell into a trance. He saw a great sheet descending from heaven, and on it all kinds of animals, which he knew were unclean. By the laws of Moses, he's not allowed to touch. Then God said, arise, kill and eat. And he said, no, I can't. He said, what God has cleansed, you must never call unclean. We know they were unclean at a time, but we are saying now that by the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, they have now been cleansed. So don't ever call them unclean. And he was still meditating. What could this vision mean? After there's no food of unclean animals around. Then they told him, some Gentiles are looking for you. Let me tell you something. I don't want to waste our time reading it, but you know where it is, all right? Now, when he came back from preaching to the house of Cornelius, you know he had to explain himself. The brethren were wondering. This kind of backsliding. The Lord had just left a few days ago. Peter has already backslided. That is to convince them. He had to tell the story. Beyond the story, he went to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius had to tell him his own story. And God now joined the story by pouring forth in all this one that, open your mouth, begin to talk. It's language you come out of your mouth. It's when anointing is not yet present. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now. Stand like this. Put around your right hand. Just wait. Is any voice coming out inside you? Anointing never come. It has not yet arrived. While he was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon the house of Cornelius. They now said, well, why don't you just baptize them too? Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. God had to use such difficult methods to persuade this man. Listen, after all of this, you think he's fully persuaded? You don't know the heart of man if you think the guy is fully persuaded. He wasn't fully persuaded. After all of this, he got back home. Brethren challenged him. And not all of them believe that story. You want me to prove it? I don't have time to read the scripture. Go and read the book of Galatians. One day, Peter went somewhere with Peter and Paul and Co. And all the brethren, Jews and Gentiles, were gathered. Paul and Peter amongst them. And they were eating. And some Jewish brethren came from Jerusalem. And when Peter saw them, he suddenly lost appetite. You know the chop? I want to go and pray. He suddenly lost appetite. Why? Because some brethren from Jerusalem appeared. And he didn't want it to be heard that Peter was eating, with brethren. These were believers, but they were not Jews. You are getting it what I'm making. Therefore, supernatural manifestations will reduce in frequency when people increase in understanding. Listen, the ability to see supernatural things does not in any way indicate your spirituality. A lot of people, while they were yet unbelievers, God met them by supernatural means. Because that was the only way to communicate with them. Do you follow what I'm going to say? That is, as they will increase in understanding, then those interesting manifestations will probably reduce in frequency. And there is a reason why you find people like prophets having such manifestations often. It's because of their ministry. Are you getting my point? There is no learning I want to know. I want to have to tell me what's going on inside your house at night. I want to know it. But if I were a prophet and God needs to address something that happens where nobody else is present, then suddenly I have a vision and I have a word of knowledge. But for everyday walking, for God trying to pass things across to an average person, he doesn't need that most of the time. But then he will use it when it is necessary. That's the point I'm making. I was trying to explain the reason why it becomes necessary. That's why I gave the example of Joseph. And I gave, number one, we said therefore our dreams, all right? Then we said visions, trances. You know what a trance is? Well, I'll give you the definition of, I studied from other people. It says a situation in which it's like you're having a vision, all right? You are not asleep. You may or may not fall down. But suddenly, your natural environment kind of vanishes. And you start seeing another realm of stuff. That's a trance. Very closely related to what a vision is. I'll give you what they mean by it. But at least now you've understood what I mean when I say God uses those things when it becomes utterly necessary. And he doesn't just fool around with them. Do you get what I'm going to say? This is what I believe. One of the commonest supernatural ways by which God speaks to people is through dreams. Job chapter 34. Now here, Eli, who obviously had great understanding of the things of God, was explaining the different methods by which God speaks to people. From verse 13, he said, why do you complain against him that he does not give an account of all his doings? He said in 14, indeed God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. He said, in a dream. What's a dream? A vision of the night when sound sleep falls on men. While they slumber in their beds. He said, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Eli was saying, therefore, that it's very common, all right, for God to speak through dreams. And virtually everybody that's an adult has had a dream at one point or the other that instructed them in a proper way to do things. Really. There are all kinds of dreams. I always say, this is from my personal experience. I don't dream so much these days. There was a time I used to dream a lot. When I say a lot, I made all kinds of crazy dreams. When I was young, I remember the day I dreamt I was driving. I was really excited that I dreamt that I was driving. And I was I wanted to drive so much and nobody would agree for me to drive. Of course, I was a little child. Then one day I dreamt that I was driving and I was excited. You have dreamt all those kind of dreams that you wonder whether you are normal yourself, you know. You just dream that as you were about to go out, then Lagos was just around the corner. As you came out of your street, you entered Lagos, and from Lagos you just found yourself in Abuja, you just were in London, and then you woke up, nothing. You know those kind of rubbish dreams. All those kind of waste of time dreams, all right? In fact, and Hagin will say that if as soon as you wake up from a dream, you don't understand what it means, forget it, it has no meaning. And I don't know about you, but I used to be like that. Some people say they don't dream. I mean, I used to dream a lot. And this day, I dream once in a while. When I say dream, you know, you watch too many movies, you start dreaming of Jackie Chan. You know those kind of things. But then, occasionally, serious dreams appear. Personally, one of the most important dreams I've dreamt in life was while I was 7. As soon as I woke up, I knew it had meaning. I knew what the meaning was. Maybe not the full meaning, but I had an idea. And as years passed and those things began to manifest, they had to do with direction for ministry for me as a person. It was while I was 7, all right? Let me give a few of you. I have told the story before. If you've heard me long enough, probably I've heard the story. But what happened was, now, I started preaching while I was on campus. I gave my first public message in a birthday party sometime around 1989, thereabout. You follow that? There's been a while. I led a campus fellowship and I preached a lot while I was on campus. When I was doing my house job, that was 1990, end of 91 into 92, I taught extensively. I did that extensively. I mean, my name, Pastor Banky, the way it is it became a name now. It was dashed to me by my friends on campus. I didn't invent it. It was a nickname on campus. You follow what I'm saying? So you assume naturally, as soon as I leave school, finish youth service maybe, just dive straight on into ministry. And it made sense. I mean, I should have done that. And I actually thought it would happen. I remember when I started my postgraduate training, I was almost sure I wouldn't finish it. I used to tell everybody, that's what I'm doing for like, you know my principle. You must never be idle. You must be doing something at a particular point in time. Don't tell me there are no jobs. There are jobs. You follow my point? There are jobs. If you're an engineer and you look for engineering job and nobody's agreeing for you to engineer phone, do you get my point? I mean, you did elect. Phone is elect, isn't it? You will be able to do something. Tell them there are no jobs. You find something doing. Oh, you know, idling around. Say, but nothing. No, you don't even have to be a phone. Go to where they are carrying cement. They make a lot of money. When you go to America, wouldn't you do it? What's your problem? Your friends who land in America, what do they do? Ask them now. I mean, there are so many things to do. I can't understand why people say there's no job. So many things in which you earn dignified money. And so that's my principle, all right? So I tell everybody then that look, that this is just what I'm just doing for now. I believed it, and I was so sure about it. But you see, because supernatural manifestations happen. They do happen. We'll discuss a few of them. Now, just talking about dreams. Now, this kind of background, the kind of person that I was, maybe you expected that this guy would just fly into ministry. You understand that kind of thing. But while I was serving, I had that dream. Let me summarize the dream. In the dream, I walked down a very long corridor. And I knew I walked down there for a very long time until I was virtually frustrated. I was looking for a door and I couldn't find a door. It was at the point in time, I suddenly took a turn and I saw a door. Now, as soon as I woke up, I don't know how I knew. Okay, actually, there was a statement in the dream that alerted me to that. But I just knew that this had to do with ministry. So after I left school, I left to finish service. Door for ministry, it closed totally. Let me tell you, I finished youth service in 1993. I started Kingdom Word Ministries in the year 2001. Without a dream, I thought I was backsliding. 8 years, no ministry. The man of God I was telling you about that came to town recently. I used to trip back to his church when I was working in Lagos, when I'm on leave, to go and walk there. That's how much I loved the ministry of the Word of God. So one day we were chatting, and I said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Ministry was nothing." I said, "I think I'm just, preparing." I know what he said. If people like you are preparing, then who will do the work? That is, with your level of preparedness, you are still preparing. Then who do you want to leave it for now? Listen, without that kind of a dream, I would have been thoroughly confused. I remember, and I was telling somebody recently that most of my, in quote, formal, well, you can't even call it formal, I have no certificate. Ministerial training I had was in Winners Chapel in Lagos, in the School of Ministry. Bishop used to organize School of Ministry those days. I was telling somebody recently that I attended School of Ministry on Bishop Oyedepo's personal invitation. I don't mean from the pulpit, though. We're talking, he was holding my hand like this. Uh-huh. So, he said, "Okay, you know what? I'm starting the School of Ministry in 2 weeks' time. I want you to attend." I said, "Yes, sir. When you come see me then?" I said, "All right, sir." And I greeted him bye-bye, and I left. I came for the School of Ministry, but I refused to go down, to go see him. Now, what is the gist about that? It was my MD who was a deacon in Winners. The man couldn't understand why this boy is still here practicing medicine. He was so excited by my personality, he went to go and tell Bishop, "There's one boy that works with me, sir. I think the guy should come and see you." He was so excited. Finally, he booked an appointment. He talked so much about me before Bishop David Oyedepo of Winners Chapel. And the man said, "Okay, tell him to come and see me." So when they just came to work, "You are seeing Bishop on Tuesday." I said, "Thank you very much, sir." So I went to go and prepare to go and visit Bishop Oyedepo. Because now, I'm trying to say, that was, it's not now. Then people will look and say, "This man, you should be doing ministry." 8 years continued like this. This guy not do jack. This the only way it made sense, those dreams. Ministry started finally after I came to Enugu. After I entered Enugu, I suddenly had the release. It's time. Do you get my point? How did I now start and started printing tracks? I'm not talking about that now, but I just want to explain the issue of dreams. God uses, a lot of us have had dreams. He uses dreams to convert people. to give people direction. Different things have happened. I was telling something about Kenneth Hagin. Yes. Now let me now finish the gist. What happened is that he was a pastor in church. And as you can imagine, a pastor should marry a very spiritual person, isn't it? Isn't it not good? You are not sure it's good. Anyway, I agree with you. It's not necessary. I agree. What I mean is that who's judging who's spiritual? I mean, who's judging who's spiritual? After all, how do we judge spirituality? It's the person that raises his hand. Some wicked souls know how to raise hand. Satan like this, and they go to church, they look very holy. And this girl was one of those very holy-looking people. And all the elders in church had decided that, now, good girl. Pastor should marry this one. So they were already doing arrangements. Listen, arrange is good. Let nobody tell you that arrange is not good. Arrange is of God. If I want to enter into the ministry of arranging now, Seth, if you have been single for long and you want, just come and talk to me. If I think you're a serious person, I will look for serious ladies and beg them for you. Don't come, I beg. I'm just begging. You can go and meet my wife. She's done it before. The last one she did was very, very successful. it was very, very successful. So they were doing arranging. So one day he was praying. Now this lady was a very, very serious, holy, and she used to sing very well in the choir. Then one day they were praying on the pulpit. No, they were praying in church. And suddenly he had a vision. And in the vision, he found himself following the girl out one evening. That is, he was watching. She didn't know he was there. It was a vision. And then a car arrived, picked up the girl, and they drove out into the night. And you know, they're just playing. The girl was a play girl. You get what I'm saying? It's only on Sunday that nobody knew the kind of immoral lifestyle she was living, except in church, that she would raise her hand and worship the Lord. And worship the Lord. Look. Me, this guy, my wife used to say that I don't know the kind of Christian that you are. That you are such an odd Christian because some things are moving other people. They don't move me. So that sister can worship. I said, only God knows who's worshiping him. All this one you are doing. No, but listen, only God knows. So on worship, you bounce ceiling like this, goes under the earth, ceiling goes out. The song that they cross ceiling, God knows they agree. The angel said, don't defile heaven. They just cover the prayer. And then hear the truth. Only the Lord knows the person. You follow what I'm saying? Don't let outward show, all right, impress you. That's why in that book I wrote, Cheerful Giver. I said, who's a cheerful giver? Hey, God of miracle. That's not the cheerful giver because he danced to his pulpit to go and give offering. Cheerful giving is an attitude of the heart. Some people learn they are stingily giving. You know it's called stingy giver? God of heart. His best is dancing. You know why he's dancing? They say, once I give this money, hey, by next week, my car will arrive. So, person is dancing onto the car, not onto the Lord. And you think the person is giving cheerfully. You don't know these things. I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, this particular situation, how God saved the man of God was through a vision. That vision gave him new information. Remember that scripture is Ecclesiastes chapter 7. It said there is a woman, all right, whose heart is, whose hands are chains, whose heart is a snare. He said the one that is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be enticed. What decides whether a man will escape or be enticed is whether he is a good person towards God in his own heart. It's not whether he has learned to pray until he hears God. Do you follow what I'm going to say? So I'm explaining these are different ways by which God leads people and speaks to people, supernatural ways. And one of the ones I found that is quite common, all right, is the issue of dreams. Is the issue of dreams. What I found is sometimes the dreams tell you things straight. Other times, they don't make meaning until the events begin to unfold. You follow that point? But they do happen. In fact, that's something I should add to it. I need to say that. We are only discussing these things to let you know they happen. Do you understand my point? That they happen because you have no control on when they happen or which one happens. You can't pray long enough until God speaks to you. You know I've said that. When you ask God for wisdom, ask in faith. You know what faith means? Believe that God has given you the wisdom and go about your business. You don't know how he's going to give you the wisdom. I need to explain that. We are just outlining these different methods. You can't decide when they happen. But bear in mind, they do happen. Having said all the things we have said in previous time, it does not mean that God doesn't speak to people. Do you get my point? And indeed, like I said, God will speak to you one day in a manner that you will know for sure that it is God. Do you follow the point I'm making? And one of those ways we mention is dreams. You can have visions. Read books. I recommend this book. I Believe in Visions. I Believe in Visions is a beautiful book by Kenneth Hagin. Okay? It will show you different ways, experiences he had. All right? Just take the things he says in the book and you'll be blessed by it. Balance with many of the things that we have said. And you will see that people, God actually still speaks to people through dreams and visions. Another way by which God speaks, let's just run through a number of them. Angelic visitations. Now, when I say angelic visitations, now, Kenneth Hagin calls those things open visions. I'm just going to say different things. I don't really have a list, okay? I have some written down, but I'll just, as they come to my head, I'll mention them. Now, Kenneth Hagin divides visions, all right, into a number of categories. There's what they call closed visions, in which you have a vision with only when your eyes are closed, all right? And then open vision, then trances, in which your physical senses are suspended, and you see into the realm of the spirit. Then there's one he calls open visions, okay? Now, forget the classification. It's not very crucial. What you need to know is that there are supernatural occurrences and they happen. What he calls open visions are when you see supernatural beings appear before you physically, in which you see them, nobody else does. Your eyes are not closed, maybe like now as we are speaking, and you are there. You just see one guy sitting down there, and only you, they see him. The guy, they talk to you. That is, you are the only person seeing the angelic being, a supernatural being. If you read that book, I Believe in Visions, he will tell you that he had those experiences several times. There are times it's angels, a lot of times it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself that appeared to him, all right, in a vision. They happen. Let me just say this. Look, this is my persuasion. There are a lot of angels that move around. You probably have seen one or two of them. You didn't know they were angels. I've said that thing before, and I am persuaded about it. I've had friends that had, I told you a story about a friend of mine who was stranded somewhere. He was very weak and he had a bad tire in this, you know, the way northern roads can be very long and lonely. And suddenly two Fulani headsmen that spoke good English appeared and helped him change his tire while he stood and watched them. And when they finished, he dashed one of them. He said he had some notes. He gave one of them one of the notes to say thank you. And the guy took it. And he knew these guys were strange. So as soon as the guy took it and he turned around to say bye-bye to them, he saw they are gone. He didn't know where they went. I mean, if you know the way the north is, it's quite usually plain ground. Where did this guy disappear to? He didn't think much about it until he parked at his next destination and saw his money on his seat. In fact, the day he was telling the story, he said that was the first time he was telling anybody. And that till now, his body still shakes when he remembers. Another friend told me a story. Now, these are stories that are told. They are experiences you have had. You didn't know that was what happened. Because I said, God doesn't like bragging. It doesn't show up. It doesn't show off. That was me. Didn't you see the head that was shining? It was my angel. God doesn't do like that. He just helps people. And that's why, look, if he finds a human being that's willing, he will use the human being that's willing. If he doesn't find, he sends an angel, and the angel borrows cloth, wears it, looks like a human being, and finishes helping you and goes back to where he came from. I'm serious. They happened. The story one of my friends told me was about a woman who was just so afraid of thieves, armed robbers. Then one day she was going out very early in the morning. I think she was going for early morning mass or something like that. Very early in the morning. And armed robbers actually came that day and attacked her. Except that as they approached, two men appeared also to defend her. Both wearing white. They said one was tall and slim. The other one was relatively short and thick. As soon as the thief saw them, now you don't know what they saw. She just saw two guys just appear. And one of them moved towards the thief. The thieves ran back into their cars and ran away. While the other one opened the gate for her to drive out or drive back in. So one of the two. By the time she turned around to say thank you, they were gone. These things happen. Many of you sitting down here, angels have helped you before, but you thought it was somebody. After all, Joshua saw an angel. And he said, what did you define? He thought it was another regular warrior. Are you on our side? Or you are against us?
I mean, the guy was talking to a literal, he didn't realize it. The Bible said many have entertained angels unawares. Many, including you. Do you get my point? God doesn't show off. We think God loves to show off. This is, forgive me, Jesus, forgive me. I don't know why, you know, I don't know why people think you must pray in a particular manner or preach in a particular manner. You know, show you. Now what I want to share with you today, yeah? Listen, if that's not your way of talking, idiot, don't talk like that. Hey, what's your problem? It's because unconsciously we think that we must copy somebody. We think this thing is a show. The way I'm talking now, I ask my students, that's how I talk in class. I remember those when we were in university. When we want to give prophecy. My children, I know the Lord loves you. So one day we now had a program, a teaching program. And one brother Marcel, he now explained that. Well, we are not saying it's not God. He said, look, God speaks to people that as a person, you can use a microphone. That we're like microphone. But if the microphone is scratchy, will you like it? You think with the scissors in the talk, you go like next fellowship, all those they vanished overnight. All of them disappeared. Because I give you normal prophecy. As we're praying the Lord, you know, we're not hearing the microphone has been repaired. What I'm saying is that look, God doesn't do show off. He wants to help. If he will help you and you think the angel was a normal person, that's why you must be full of thanksgiving all the time. If you are waiting for God to do something out of heaven, you'll see the angel just diving wings, flapping the wings all over your head. Then, after, you know, for the first 1 week, you'll be walking very holy. Very holy. And you want to shake your hand and like, an angel touched this hand. You know, go green. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So I'm just explaining that, look, visions do happen, all right? Don't forget what we said. Let's just know they happen. The day they will happen to you, you probably wouldn't be prepared for them. Ken Hagin had a lot of visions. We tell you that there was never anything he did. There are times he began while he was praying. The other times he began while he was just sitting down on a study table and just meditating. And maybe just making some plans, writing. And this thing will just begin. Do you follow my point? Those who are unbelievers have seen visions. What's your problem? You think it's a mark of spirituality? It is not. What I'm not explaining is that they happen. God will use these manifestations to speak to you when it is necessary. Let me tell you why God had to convert Saul the way he did, who became Paul. The guy's zeal was too much. The guy's zeal was what? Too much. Let me tell you one of the things, you know, you've heard me say before, zeal. Be afraid of zeal when you see it. It's a good thing to have, but first thing you do is learn control. Zeal, what controls it is knowledge and understanding. You go for knowledge. Look, you know, like Gordon said once, that a zealous man, I'm adding a few words together, he said, they want to do things that even God is saying, I wish I could do. So the zealous man said, I want to save the whole world. He said, even God said, I wish that all men would be saved. That is a wish. But the zealous man thinks it can be done. But if he settles down and studies, he'll know it's a wish. That even for God is I wish. After that, you settle down and do the one that you can do. He says, souls are perishing. You are wearing fine shirt. Why won't you wear fine shirt? Because souls are perishing. If you wear dirty shirt, they will still perish. It's a matter of fact. He said, why should you be reading? Don't you know this course you are studying shall pass away? But it's so that you will win. So the man won't go to school again. Prepare for exam. You don't go prepare for exam. He said, there's one village you have not yet been evangelized. Listen, look, many villages will not be evangelized. Even if you decide you'll be an illiterate all your life, there will be villages. I mean, they use that principle with Jesus once. He said, why are you using perfume? I just could have sold that perfume and then use the money. He said, listen, no matter how much money you spend on poor, there will still be poor people. You are getting what I'm trying to say? Why does that talking about zeal again? Paul. His zeal was too much. His zeal was just too much. The only way God could convert that guy was to ice him badly, slap him until he became blind. That was the only way. And listen, one major thing God wants from you is what? Attention. That is, he wants to just be quiet, be still, and know that I am God. You need moments of stillness. Stillness doesn't mean you're just lying down there. All right? And you're not going anywhere. And you know your brain is going everywhere for you. Stillness is that you have made the plan, everything, what you want to do. Just take a moment and say, wait, though, these things, are they really going to work out like this? And you settle down there and you wait. And you start meditating and you are thinking. You are giving God thanks. You are focusing your mind on the, you know, you, in fact, the best way to focus on God is thanksgiving. This is my personal opinion. Don't try to be quiet. Say, let me not think. A human mind does not have the capacity to be absent. You know, to have nothing on it. I don't believe the human being has the capacity to be absolutely silent. To be silent, he has to be doing something. If you say, my mind is quiet now, your mind is just thinking on quietness. That is, it becomes, okay, am I quiet, 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 quiet? The mind must be doing something. The best way to steal your mind in the presence of God is to just focus on God and be giving thanks. Father, I thank you because I'm alive. I thank you for all the problems of my life. I thank you because of what you have achieved through me, what you are going to do through me. I thank you for forgiveness of sin. I thank you for healing my diseases. I thank you because my future is bright. You just settle down there. Lord, I'm not wise in my own eyes. That's your mind is getting quiet. Your focus, listen, one thing God needs is for somebody to just pay attention. Be quiet. Moses was running up and down. God set the bush on fire just to attract his attention. And that's what God did with Paul. The man was, look, while sleeping, he's planning against the Christians. Everything, plan. God said, okay, leave him now, I go show him. That's why he had to blind him for a few days. That way you can't go anywhere. You are forced to reconsider. What I'm doing, is it really correct? Sometimes, some of the problems we have in life is just so that we settle down and what? Reconsider. Am I sure I'm right? Am I sure what I'm doing is correct? You follow what I'm saying? Ken Hagin said something in one of his books I read. That was I do that a lot. I just pick a book, just read one. I've read it before, but just read the section again, 2 pages. So I read this one a few days ago and I laughed. And sometimes people do things. You know, God is just. God doesn't make mistakes. You can never look, God does not make mistakes. I told you, you can't judge the actions of people. You don't know why they are doing what they are doing. He said once, he went somewhere. There was no phone that time. Mobile phones and all of that. No internet, of course. This was when he was a very young man, all right? And he died a few years ago at the age of about 85, 86, 87, thereabout, mid-80s. And so when he was a young 20-something-year-old man. And his wife sent a letter. He went out to preach. So his wife sent him an overnight mail, a speed mail, in which she wrote that the 2 children were sick. And now listen to this, you will laugh. And they didn't have money at home. So that day was going to be alone. The pastor had gone to do some things. The pastor he was preaching for. So he said when the pastor left, he went into the church and began to pray. He prayed and prayed. And he said he prayed the way he had heard everybody else pray. That's what I'm saying. He don't know why about doing what they are doing. He thinks that's the way that works. And rebuke the devil, my children, they will be well. All he's doing is repeating what everybody else did. Money will come in the name of Jesus. In the name of, he said he prayed and prayed and prayed. He wanted to pray through. He said, finally, he laid down. And he heard the voice say to him, what are you doing here? Then he jumped up. Was that God? You didn't hear everything I said? 2 of my children are sick. Or my 2 children. He has 2 children. I don't know how many. He began to pray again. Oh, in the name of Jesus. He prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Until he got tired. Then he laid down there on the floor again. Then the voice came back inside him. What are you doing? He jumped up again and started the prayer again. 2 of my children are sick. He said he kept on. Ha! Well, finally, he got frustrated and tired. So what are you doing here? I came here to pray through. So what does it mean to pray through? Well, that's what everybody says. Everybody comes to pray through. Anyway, cut a long story short. Let me just summarize it. The Lord now began to lead him to think about God's promises and that God is always watching out for him And if he asks anything according to his will, God hears him. You know, he just began to think about God's promises and said that the word of God has promised this and this. When he finished thinking about it, he realized that all he has been doing since morning is a waste of time. He now went back home and rested. Next morning, he got another mail. He said, just like you snap your fingers, the wife wrote the letter, that the two children suddenly became well. That was when he rested and began to meditate on the promises of God. What am I going to explain? What God wants to get from us sometimes is what? Just attention. Just look, this boy, relax. Let's talk serious matter. You know when I talk serious matter? Relax. Think properly and ideas will come to your mind. I don't want this one to spill over to next week. So let me just quickly talk about these ideas coming to your mind. This is my own personal experience. Now, a lot of people ask me, how did you become a pathologist? Why did you choose to be a pathologist? I answer the question differently, depending on who I'm dealing with. If I'm talking to a non-believer who doesn't know jack about spiritual things, you know, truth has these different levels. You know that? What are you doing? I'm standing. Is that a lie? It's true, really. But is that the whole truth? No. What are you doing? I'm standing and I'm talking. That's also true. But am I just talking? No. What are you doing? I'm standing and I'm teaching. That's also true. But you can keep giving the truth in deeper levels until you explain that you are standing and you are teaching the word of God and tell the kind of word you are teaching at that particular point in time. I'm not saying the truth has different levels. So I share what I want to share with some people depending on the kind of thing they can receive. Three things I give. And I'm in the Bible class, so I believe you can receive the depth of the truth. So I'll give it to you. All right? Why did you choose to become a pathologist? First, I tell you why I didn't have to choose to become a pathologist. Number one, I had no pathologist to inspire me as a medical student. So that was out. I didn't like the course in school, not because the course was bad, but because nobody was teaching it. I mean, until recently, it was hard to come by a pathologist. So that was out for me. Now, what answers do I give people? So number one, somebody has to do it, which is not a lie. All right? I don't too much like clinical work, go to the clinic, see patients, which is not a lie. Okay? Then deeper level of truth. Some people who understand spiritual things, I say the kind of life I intend to live, I don't plan to be taking calls at 12 midnight. Not as if it was bad, but it wasn't my kind of calling. I wanted to teach the word of God. By that time, I already knew I would teach the word of God. You understand? It was already inside my soul. You are getting the point I'm making there. Now, but then, based on all of these calculations, because nobody really taught me histopathology, which was what I ended up doing, it was not in my mind. I was choosing between clinical medicine and this and that, among clinical medicine, whether I would do internal medicine, pediatrics, or surgery. Just thinking all of that thought. Then one day, I went home. I came for LOCAF, my LOCAF alumni fellowship from where I was 70, was during my youth service. I had a fellowship, I went home, and I was sitting in the sitting room at home on a particular scene. I was thinking, Lord, what do I do? One brother had advised me that before you finish your service, make up your mind what you want to do so that you don't waste time afterwards. So I was taking time, following that counsel and thinking, you know, that day as I sat down, I can never forget. Just like you drop a coin in a box, the thought was inserted into my head. I almost heard it land. It's as if somebody just opened my head, stuck something in there. It was almost as if I could feel it. And I just went, what be the anatomy? And I sat straight and I said, why did I never think about this? First time he entered my mind, instantly I made up my mind. Those who want to know, say, why did you choose this course? I said, the Lord spoke to me and said, become a pathologist. And I'm not lying. Everything just fitted. You know, I said, why did God have to speak to you? Why? Because it was a thought that had never... Look, if I had good lecturers in school in that area, I probably would have just chosen it by myself. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Listen, God speaks... I want to say that because, you see, there are books you read. All of us have personal experiences. They are not doctrine. That God lives with a still small voice. Only one, that encounter came only one in the scripture. So don't worry about it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You read through this Bible. The Bible tells that, and the voice of the Lord came saying. The Bible doesn't explain how it comes most of the times. But it comes in different ways. On Mount Sinai, they heard the voice of God like thunder. Sometimes the voice of God comes through his prophets. Sometimes you hear it directly and nobody else hears it. Supernatural ways by which God, there are different ways. But I'm coming to something. Sometimes, because this one I hear most commonly, is that people tell me that, and my God just told me, and what he means is that the thought just came up in his mind. Now the fact, this is my own, I can't be dogmatic about this, but this is my personal persuasion. The fact is that a lot of times God throws thoughts into your heart. Do you get my point? Except that it is extremely difficult to distinguish them from your own thoughts. Now, why did he leave it like that? I'll tell you why. Because he doesn't want you quoting him. He prompted an idea in your heart. If it fits a correct heart there, before that idea came, it will just be the perfect will of God, which you will have discovered because you were ready to receive it. Do you get? I don't know whether you are getting what I'm saying. Look, I'm going to bring out something. It is impossible to teach somebody else how to hear God's voice inside your heart. It is impossible. Do you get my point? What you can do for people is what I have been doing. Teach them how to have the correct heart that hears God. Then, from experience, they will discover the supernatural ways by which God speaks to them. Nothing beyond that. There is no hard and fast rule about any method. None. The basic things we have said about making your heart right, the natural ways by which God speaks, we have talked about that. Those are regular, we can be dogmatic about those ones. Those are doctrinal matters. The supernatural ways, we can learn about what they are like. How do we experience them? You can't teach anybody. I can't teach you how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, no matter how loud it sounds. I can't. All right? But when it comes, you will know it. Listen, most people that have heard that God manifests to in a supernatural manner for the first time they were scared. And then maybe somebody senior to them, coached them, taught them some things, all right? And then, because the person talking to them may not even know what's going on. But having understanding of the ways of God gives the guy some things. Like now, a lot of people have heard, they say, look, as maybe the first time they had that experience, they were so afraid the thing stopped. And then they get taught on how to calm their fears. And then God comes back to relate with them again. Maybe he's calling them to the ministry of the prophet. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, God can put thoughts in your mind. Stop going around shouting, God told me. You hear what I said? Take it as a strong idea that comes. Now you will know. Sometimes you just know that, look, when if a thought comes to my mind like this, I'm almost sure it's God. That is, you will just know it's you. Then you can't rub it off on me. You get my point? You can't force me to accept it. But you will know how it works with you. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm trying to say. Listen, let me summarize it. My time is gone. Supernatural ways by which God speaks. Okay? Just know they occur. God can talk to you in a dream, talk to you in a vision. You can hear the voice of God in your ears. An angel may appear to you and talk with you. The Lord Jesus Christ may even appear to you physically and talk to you. Your spirit, God may just come down and pull you out of your body and take you up to the heavenly realms and you begin to hear things. Paul described a man that went up to the third heavens and heard things that couldn't be uttered. They happen. But nobody can control when they happen, how they happen, how often they will happen, or whether you will ever experience any one of them. And that's what my message today is. Supernatural things occur. Don't believe Jehovah Witnesses that say they don't occur anymore. They do. Just get ready. What we have done is to prepare your heart. God, listen, I wish you would get the point. It's not only preachers that God speaks to supernatural by this supernatural method. God can warn you. Listen, the stock market is about to slow down. Stop all this aggressive investment. He can do that. He didn't do for most people because their greed was what sent them there in the first place. It was not calling. Do you follow what I'm saying? It was greed. Fast, quick money. But please, forget stock market for a moment. There is a business you are doing. There's something that you are spending your life doing. Expect supernatural manifestations in those areas. Don't ever forget Kekule. Anybody doing this bit of science, chemistry, you know Kekule. Kekule's structure of benzene. It was revealed to him in a dream. Scientists have been studying and studying. What scientists now call cyclical hydrocarbons. It has never entered into the heart of man. They studied, they didn't understand why benzene has 6 carbon atoms and 6 hydrogen atoms. One hydrogen is supposed to have a valency of 4, right? And hydrogen of 1. And the thing is stable. That's the annoying part. Most things that are defective, when it's not balanced like that, should be unstable. They tried and tried, nobody. Then Kekule sat down one day thinking and fell asleep in his reclining chair in front of the fireplace and saw a snake with the tail in his mouth going around in circles. As soon as he woke up, he knew that was the structure of benzene. And that was the first time they drew cyclical hydrocarbons. Are you getting the point? John Templeton. He started the Templeton Foundation. Give out money like that to those who can show scientifically that spiritual things are real. Charles Townes won the Templeton Award a few years ago. And what Charles Townes did, what gave him the award? Charles Townes is a scientist. You heard of laser beam? You know what they call laser? Yes, laser is everywhere now. This CD drive reads with laser, you know, everything. Laser is everywhere. They use it in medicine, you know, they use it in engineering, they use laser. There was no laser until Charles Townes and his workers invented what they call the laser and the mesa. All right? And he said the idea was given to him, okay, just like a prophet receives inspiration. That he was sitting in a park and the thought just came to his mind. And he said, why not? He got up. It took them a few years, but they were working on a thought that came to his mind while he was sitting in a park. Eventually, when the thing succeeded, he said, the way the idea came to me, all right, is the same way a prophet receives inspiration. That was why they gave him the Templeton Award. What am I going to explain? In economics, God will give you ideas. And you will be able to say convincingly, like I can say, the Lord said I should become a pathologist. I mean, in engineering, God will give you ideas. In your business, God will give you ideas. In your investments, one day you wake up in the morning, it will be as if the voice of God came to you strongly saying, go out this morning, take a trip down this road on the left, buy every piece of land you can find there. You'll get, why am I thinking this kind of thought? You won't understand why. And you go down there, just see a lot of bush. And your people, that's why God does such things. Because you will talk to everybody you are doing business with, they'll say you are silly. When you have to make decisions that are against every rational way of thinking, God needs to intervene with a supernatural manifestation. Because sometimes, after you finish buying it, you yourself will now see the folly of what you have done. The only consolation is that you will remember that morning when I woke up, a voice came so strongly to my heart that said, drive down exactly 10 kilometers, and I did. Stop here and buy every piece of land available on the left side of the road. A year after, 2 years after, maybe 3 years after, is when finally you will find the manifestation of why God says you should buy it. Listen, that is how God converts. Look, how did Joseph make Pharaoh rich? He knew what to do. Pharaoh was buying their food from them cheap, and they were selling because they had plenty. He didn't collect it by force. He bought it. Invested in this thing for more than 7 years. But then, selling it back to them, he was saving their lives. By the time they were through, they were all slaves of Pharaoh. That was when men began to pay tax. Because we are using Pharaoh's time to work. So he lends your life to you. Do you get my point? Listen, if you are going to take over kingdoms for God on the earth, you cannot depend only on rational thinking. Like I always say, there are times you have to expect a miracle. I hope you've gotten my point for this evening. Let us pray.